Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert. You're listening to episode 111 for Monday, September 23rd, 2019.
This week on the Two Bobs, as always, we're going to talk about the beer we're drinking. We're going to talk a little bit about nerdy apple shit.
And this week's crazy news is going to basically dock us in Florida. We'll talk about Tetris, a police car, a smart car, vaping, a broomstick, and some pubic hair.
Oh, fantastic. You got to get some pubes involved in the conversation.
Yeah.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. We made it.
Yeah. Although, I mean, by the time this episode comes out, these poor bastards, it'll probably be Monday or Tuesday, and you know, they're going
to
feel envious that
driving
right now, as we're recording this, it is a Friday evening. And despite the world's best efforts, we're here recording today. So
many hurdles overcome for us to sit down to this. We almost had to do another 2 weeks, which we both hate. And, you know, I think sometimes things just start to look in our favor. And this is one of those weeks.
Yeah. The universe, the stars aligned and, you know, we made it happen. So.
We did.
I feel like we should probably just get straight into the beer, though.
We should, but I'm so discombobulated, I haven't even turned on my sound machine here.
Oh, no.
So.
We don't even have the drop.
And I don't even...
bartender.
Thankfully,
bring me another beer.
Thankfully, I remembered the code to get into it. Because it doesn't have one of those fancy thumb things on it. It's a cheap Android device.
Can't use your face holes to do
this one. This one doesn't read my face. It turns on. It was cheap. I had to give away the iPad to Ben because he bent his all up.
Speaking of which, hopefully we have... my phone's almost done downloading apps now, so that's good.
You've dropped out a couple more times since then, but it'll be fine.
It's almost done. I mean, there's a lot of Wi-Fi edge going through this room right now between the MacBook and my new iPhone that I got today. So I do have the new iPhone 11 Pro Max Plus.
X10 11 Plus X Max.
Note 10 Galaxy Large phone. So it has three cameras.
Mine is still in parts in a box somewhere.
Oh, man.
And I ordered mine maybe 2 or 3 minutes after yours, but I think yours was T-Mobile. Yours was the Space Black or Gray or whatever the hell it is. I went with the Silver because I like that. And the Verizon one, which is supposedly unlocked for everybody. So I think that's the one everybody wants. So by manner of minutes, mine went from what's today, which is release day, to October 1st to 4th.
Yeah, you just dropped the ball, I think. I don't think. Because usually the space grays, those are usually, although the green, they have whatever the hell they call it, dark night green or camel green. Those are popular this year. Usually the space gray is more of a demand than the silver ones, though.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think you just messed it up. And I think also, don't get me wrong, but I think that Verizon's also locking their phones now. I think that after a certain amount of days, they'll unlock it. Every carrier is a little bit different with that. I think T-Mobile, after 40 days, they'll unlock it for you.
Mine doesn't even say Verizon on it on the order. It just says the name of the phone, whereas yours said T-Mobile. Mine doesn't say anything.
Yeah.
So who knows what it'll work on. Cricket.
God knows what you're getting. You're getting an iPhone 4S, actually. I don't know if you...
As long as it works on Cricket, 4S. I'm good.
Yeah. As long as you can put it on Boost Mobile.
Pay as you go, baby. Phone cards. Oh, boy.
Yeah. So funny story real quick. I like fun. Hold on. I'm telling a story. Give it a damn minute.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
So I stopped... On my way into work, the day of the pre-order, I stop. It's about 7:55 pre-order. Thank God starts at 8 a.m. instead of the usual 3 a.m. They moved it forward. Or moved it back, I should say.
Yep.
And so it was like 7:57. I said, all right, I'm going to stop the car. Pulled off into a parking lot, did my pre-order thing. And then I get back on the road, and I'm like, something's kind of brewing a little bit. I'm going to have to take care of some things when I get to the office. And then there was traffic. And then all of a sudden, I'm on the road, stuck in traffic, and I realize I'm not going to make it all the way to work.
Oh, no.
So I get off at the next exit, which is still, it was a wait because of the traffic. And then you got to turn left. I'm like, all right, there's a, behind the Starbucks, there's a McDonald's. And a McDonald's, by the way, if you ever have to, like, if there's an emergency and you got to get into a restroom, like, Starbucks is perfect. Or not Starbucks. don't do it at Starbucks. That's gross. McDonald's is the perfect place to do that. So I'm literally, my legs are shaking. I'm like sweating. I'm thinking, dear God, I have to be able to make it to the restroom. Finally, traffic clears. I turn left, realize I'm in the wrong fucking parking lot.
No.
That's all right. You know what I did?
Get out.
I jumped the fucking curb. No. I jumped the curb.
Oh, yeah.
Went the wrong way up the Starbucks drive-thru to get over to the McDonald's. And literally, man, I'm just telling you, if there had been somebody in the stall in the McDonald's restroom, men's room at that moment, I would have gone in the women's room. It was that, like, it was a photo finish, Robert. I'm going to tell you. Man, we had a Code Brown situation.
I've had those. It's not fun.
Yeah. No, the rest of the day was fine, though. So
you fear for your life.
Pre-order experience. Yeah.
Well, you'd have to find a store that's open so you can go buy new underpants. Yeah. You probably got your suit pants on. You got to go buy new ones of those. It's not happening. You're going home at that point.
No, yeah. You call it a day. That's what you do. You say, all right, this didn't work out.
We'll try Universe again one, tomorrow. Rob zero.
Yeah, yeah. I lost big time that round. But anyway, on to the beer. On to the beer.
Hey,
this week.
Beer!
Okay, good. We're going to play the drop again. That's good.
Now that I have it on, I might as well use it.
This week, we're going to visit our friends over on the west side of Michigan, New Holland.
Oh,
where I have another one of their Dragon's Milk Reserves. I'm excited about this. As you remember, a couple weeks ago, I had the Maple Oak Reserve. This week, however, I have the Dragon's Milk Reserve Raspberry Hibiscus, which is a bourbon barrel-aged stout with natural flavors of,
flowers.
Raspberry and hibiscus, I guess.
Yeah.
It doesn't see, that's the thing. I was waiting for more of a floral taste, and I didn't get it, so I guess I'm a little bit happy about it.
Yeah,
but nonetheless, a couple weeks ago when I was at Red Wagon in Rochester Hills, Michigan, and I picked up a couple single serves. This is one of the ones that I picked up because I do love Dragon's Milk, and their reserves are kind of cool. It's like not quite up there with the Founders Barrel Age series, but it's still I do like Dragon's Milk. So this one, it's just a little bit of a take on it, and there's nothing specifically written up for it. So I'm just going to say it's 11% alcohol by volume, and it says Dragon's Milk Reserve, inspired by one of our favorite treats, Dragon's Milk Reserve. Oh, wait, that's oatmeal cookie. Motherfuck. Okay, never mind. it's good beer. It's good. Dragon's Milk is a bourbon barrel-aged stout, and this is a take on it that adds natural flavors of raspberry and hibiscus. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Fine. Yeah.
So
it's dark.
It does. Well, yeah, it's dark as a Dragon's Milk should be. It's a nice thick pour, as you can see.
Yeah.
And I get a sweetness. I get a sweetness with my nostrils. Let me taste it. And that's good. I get the bourbon barrel aged taste to it, just like I do with any Dragon's Milk. It does add a nice sweetness. I can taste the raspberry. A pretty pronounced raspberry note. Hibiscus, I don't know what hibiscus tastes like. So I can't tell you whether or not I taste hibiscus in this, but I definitely taste raspberry. It's really good. I rated it at 4.25 on Untappd, not the 4.5 that I rated some of the other ones, just because it's more of a fruitier, kind of dessertier type of beer. It's a little sweet for me. But still really good. A really nice raspberry presence there. Another solid one from Dragon's Milk. We've had Dragon's Milk, we've had New Holland several times on the show. And if my fucking computer would load it, I'd tell you when we've had it. I had it episode 27, Rob loves Game of Thrones. You actually had a The Poet from New Holland, episode 43, Ring of Idiotes. I had a Cabin Fever, episode 54, Chocolate Ass. You had a Baltic Anomaly, episode 103, Dildo Cleaning Wipes.
Oh.
You had an orange. I had the raspberry, or I'm sorry, I had the Dragon's Milk Reserve orange chocolate. Episode 104, Mermaid Enthusiast. I had a Dragon's Milk White. Episode 107, Sheep is Dolly. I had the Dragon's Milk Reserve, Maple Oak. And, going all the way back to the beginning where I missed the first one, episode one of, episode five, Tree Seeds, where I had the original Dragon's Milk. So a lot of Dragon's Milk on the show. And, episode 23. I don't know exactly what happened where it skipped the first batch the first time around. You had a Mad Hatter. I don't think I had said anything about the Mad Hatter. Maybe no. I did. I don't know. Well, that was episode 23. Love the dough.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Very exciting.
Well, I looked it up online. It says hibiscus has a tart cranberry-like flavor. So you probably have a hard time finding that with the raspberry because it can be kind of tart too. But
yeah, there's a little bit of a tartness. But again, yeah. I kind of attributed it to the raspberry, but maybe it just kind of upset a little bit. Still, again, really good beer and recommended. Not my favorite of the Dragon's Milk Reserves that I've had, but certainly a good beer.
All right. Well, this week I'm going to go to our friends at Star Hill, and that's Star with two R's. They're here in Virginia, and I think in Charlottesville, and Crozet, which is pretty much Charlottesville area. And we've had I've had a couple beers from that area, but again, I've got the Star Hill Brewing Last Leaf Maple Brown Ale. So it's a fall beer, seasonal lineup, and again, it is a brown. And if you've been following the show, I'm not much of a brown beer fan, but I saw these and I happen to just like maple, so I figured I'll give it a shot, and Star Hill has never let me down in the past, so I will let you know if they have this time. But the website says it's a classic English brown ale brewed with several different malts, hopped with East Kent Goldings and real Virginia maple syrup. The maple aroma with subtle vanilla notes leads into a rich and smooth body with a malty character. And it is 6.1 alcohol by volume. And they started it in 2016, available in six-pack, which is how I got it. And it is available on draft if you're able to locate that near you. So I'm going to give it a taste and let you know what I think. Smell it first. I smell the sweetness. I smell the vanilla and kind of maple. It almost smells like it's got some caramel in there too, but it's a good taste to me.
Smells like a Werther's original.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, perfect.
It's good. I taste a bit of the maple and the vanilla. The vanilla is a little bit more prevalent than I thought it might be, because sometimes, and I know I've said that in the past, sometimes beers that say that they have vanilla don't have enough in there, and this one does. I like it. It's not overly sweet. It does have a bit of the, like I said, the maple and the vanilla to it. And a classic brown ale, and this is actually one that I've got seven of these because Melissa got me one in a build your own. So I'm going to enjoy these a lot. Again, I'm not a big fan of brown ales, but I like this one a lot. And I put it in Untappd already, and I will probably rate it a 4 just because I don't usually like the browns, and I like this one. So it's a
Star
Hill.
You don't like the browns?
I don't like the browns. I'm okay with the browns. But I tell them not like the, what's the Newcastle? I don't like that style beer typically. If it's there, I'll drink it. If it's next to like a Coors Light or Bud Light, I'll drink it. But,
sure. I mean,
yeah. Star Hill is
a monster.
Star Hill has been good to me. Episode 30, Four Legged Undies. I had the Star Hill Resonate Imperial Red IPA. Episode 48, Magic Unicorn Formula. I had the Star Hill Brewing Little Red. Ooh, Little Red Rooster Coffee Cream Stout. And then that's it. So those two times. I've had more Star Hill than I've had on this show. So anyhow, pick it up if you can find it.
I can't find it. So I don't, because I don't think they distribute up here. But
probably not.
Shit happens.
That's fine.
Yeah, I'll be all right. I'll live.
That's all right. So you're telling me you got your new iPhone. Have you actually had a chance to use it?
I like loaded things up and downloaded all the, so the apps are officially done downloading now. Okay. I will say this, it downloaded really fucking fast. Like, I feel like it was a lot faster than on previous iPhones.
Yeah.
Other than that, no. Like, I, the Face ID is super fast. Like that little, the little lock that unlocks yeah. much quicker now. So that's good.
I'm excited to try the different angles for it, because a lot of times I have to lean over my, if it's sitting on my desk, I have to lean over it and put my face there in the car in my little car holder. I have to get it just right to get it to unlock. Whereas the old Touch ID, you could just touch it. Didn't matter where it was and you could unlock it. So I'm excited to try that. And I'm really excited because I love taking pictures with my phone. I'm really excited to try the wide angle and see how much better it is. I would have liked more telephoto, but I think since you can do the digital zoom and you can crop it, but you can't really make it wider without a panorama, and that's not always convenient. So I have a feeling that the wide angle is going to get a lot of use.
Yeah, and I'm thinking so too, especially like outdoor shots are nice.
Yeah.
The portrait, the wide angle portrait photos, I think will be really nice.
Yeah.
But
have you taken a selfie?
I haven't had, what's funny is I actually kind of, Kelly dared me to take one earlier and I immediately deleted it because it just looked really bad. Like I can't do it.
Yeah. Slow motion selfie. I think it's one of those things it's kind of like with the little unicorns and all that stuff where you'll do it one or two times just because you can. Yeah. And then that's it. But I haven't done any of those, whatever the moving emojis or whatever they are. I haven't done any of those in ages.
And emojis.
That's right.
That's a little gimmicky, you know? The Animoji thing. Like, it's cool for a second. Harrison enjoys sending me Animojis from Kelly's phone, and then I'll respond with an Animoji, or every once in a while, like, one of my colleagues will send me one as a joke, and it's always highly inappropriate, and then I'll respond with one, and, you know. But again, really, really cool. Again, it looks like there's a fidget spinner on the back, the rear camera. It has a really cool like a textured glass on the back too. So what's weird is it actually is glass on the back, but it almost, feels like it's a matte finish. It almost feels like the old metal, the old aluminum encased phones.
Yep.
You can't really tell that it's glass. It's not quite as like buttery slippery, I guess you could say, as the prior models as well. So, you know,
yeah,
so far so good. I haven't had much of a chance to play around with it. Had a lot going on tonight, but
yeah, you know,
soon enough I will. I have a wedding to attend on Sunday, so we'll see how it can take
the test pictures. Out pictures. Yeah. Now the front of it has kind of a texture to it too, right? Your glass.
Fuck me. Yeah. So, and I don't even know how this happened. Literally, it hasn't even like left the kitchen table. And there's a fucking like hairline scratch on the front of the front of the phone. Thank you for bringing that up, Robert. I'm not exactly sure what happened here, but
now, wiping it with your t-shirt's not going to help it. You got a big old piece of sand in your t-shirt, probably.
Well, I've never had this issue before. I have a fucking reservation at the Apple store and. Monday to bring it in so they can they're just gonna have to give me a new phone, I suppose.
Well, you know, there's a class action lawsuit against them. Did you see that about the phones, the Apple Care phones that they were giving people were refurbished, but there's a class action lawsuit that's going to go through that people want brand new phones every time, even though the phone you gave them was shattered and dropped in the shitter. Which the one that they're giving you back actually works and is not shattered and has not been in the shitter that you know, people are still suing.
Well, that's ridiculous though, because
it is ridiculous.
You know, like I've gotten Apple Care replacements before and I know in the back of my head that they are they're certified refurbished phones, but I mean they put a brand new battery, they put a brand new display.
Yep.
You can't tell the difference. No. It is exactly a new phone.
Yeah.
So you know, I kind of think that, you know, people are just being a little bit petty with that.
Yeah.
You know, to give me a phone that works, looks and works exactly like a brand new phone,
yep,
and replace mine that, like you said, like I went diving in the pond or,
yeah,
or it's, you know, or something and that's not working, I'm perfectly okay with. But,
yep,
you know, nonetheless, if they want to send me a check, that's fine.
Yeah. Now, you didn't get a new watch, though, right?
No, I didn't get a new watch.
No, I didn't either.
Well, it's the same thing, except the only difference in the watches is the Series 5. It's same processor, same GPU. So everything's exactly the same. The only thing is the Series 5 has an extra little chipset that allows the refresh rates on the display. It can dial it all the way down to 1 hertz, which is, I mean, very slow refresh rate, which allows the display to stay on all the time,
yeah,
without killing the battery. So aside from that, you know, there's literally no difference between, yeah, the two. So it's like, you know, it's not a worthy upgrade in my opinion.
Yeah,
because, you know, the Series 4 is a really good watch as, yeah, it is. And, you know, yeah, the display turns off, but it's only when I'm not looking at it. So what the fuck do I care?
Well, every now and then I'll have it in a position where I want it to turn on and I'll turn my wrist, but it's not enough for it to trigger it. So I just have to tap it. So, I mean, I could see where that would be kind of cool. And they actually made the comment that when you're in a meeting or something like that and you want to see what time it is without looking like the asshole who's checking his time because you want it to be over. But other than that, that's it. So it wasn't really a compelling upgrade. So I skipped it too. I'll be happy with the phone once it gets here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, there's you know, there's only so much you can do every year, and mm-hmm, and the Apple Watch just isn't on my list of things that needs to be upgraded this year. No. And you know, we'll see. Well, next year, year after, if maybe there's a compelling argument at that point. You know, but, yeah, I mean, if I had the choice between an always on display and a not always on display, I'd go with the always on display. But at the same time, it's not something that's going to get me to upgrade.
Yeah. Well, I know what we can do now. We can upgrade to crazy news.
Let's do it.
I almost pushed a rating music button.
By the way, I didn't tell you, but
yeah,
I upgraded to the macOS Catalina beta.
Yeah.
So I'm on Catalina. Everything? No, because Call Recorder finally said that they officially support Catalina. So I'm like, all right, I'll try it out now. And it's okay, working just fine. Which, if you're listening, yeah, Call Recorder is the software that we use to record our local feeds when we record the podcast. So even though we're not in the same room in the same state, it sounds to you when you're listening as if it's two local feeds. It's because we record them locally on each side of the conversation. Then I send mine to Robert and Robert mashes them together. So
yeah, it's the magic of these software programs. So we've been trying to have a guest on the show as well and trying to explain to him how it works. So you know, he wanted to use Skype and trying to figure out that, but then it'll just sound weird, and I'm not ready for it to sound weird. So we've got a good thing going with their sound, but we still like the guests, so we'll have them on. We try to get them on tonight, but maybe next week.
Yeah,
sure. Maybe we can get our shit together.
He can, yeah, join
us. And maybe anybody else that wants to join us, fuck, just let us know.
Yeah, I'm fucking exhausted, too. I don't know if you noticed. I'm exhausted. But anyway.
Me, too.
All right.
What's the first story?
This week's first story.
Florida.
So we've had a lot of stories in the past about people marrying inanimate objects, whether it be train, yep, stations, chandeliers, roller coasters, and other holograms, ghosts, other dogs. Dogs aren't inanimate, but no. I mean, still, it's not another person.
Yeah.
So this week takes us to Florida, where a math student is about to marry her Tetris game. I don't know if you know Tetris, the video game, and originally became famous on the Nintendo Entertainment System, where you take shapes and they fall down and you gotta make lines and to make the rows disappear, yeah, and it's all very exciting. So this person here apparently loves her Texas game. This person here apparently loves her Tetris game to the point where she's going to marry it. A Florida math student. Really? A Florida math student is just months away from walking down the aisle with the love of her life, Tetris video game. Nural Majabin Hassan. Here it goes.
He saw me reaching, and I held it back because I knew you were waiting.
I thought we were going to ask Bishak. There it is.
Bishak Dev.
Yes, they're related.
It was too obvious.
First fell her game in 2016, not long after losing her first love, a 160 euro Texas Instruments Nspire CX calculator called Pierre de Fermat, after named after her favorite mathematician. The academic who likes to be known as Fractal Tetris Hurricane has a rare condition which makes her have emotions and sexual feeling toward objects other than her fellow humans. The condition scientifically recognized as objectophilia. Oh, yeah. Sees people form close relationships with objects and experience a deep sense of reciprocation based on the belief that the objects have souls. Oh. Recently, a famous case involved a woman who married the Eiffel Tower, Erica Labrie, a military veteran and prominent member of the U.S. archery team, is now known as Mrs. Eiffel. Nurul, what the fuck, also intends to take her Tetris game after a ceremony next year and is currently planning her nuptials around playing Tetris for 12 hours each day, often using her tongue to move the shapes. It is believed to be the first case of objectophilia involving a video game. Wearing a Tetris t-shirt, Tetris necklace, and seductively lit by multicolored Tetris lamp, the math genius admits to engaging in sexual activity with the game thanks to various Tetris-themed collectibles given to her by friends. Speaking to the Daily, this is a Tetris-themed dildo. Alexa, add Tetris dildo to my shopping list.
I've put Tetris on your shopping list.
Perfect. Speaking to the Daily Mirror, she attempted to explain her feelings toward the 35-year-old retro gaming classic. I think Tetris is so beautiful. He is about perfection, and he stimulates your mind, she gushed. Physically, I get that feeling that people in relationships get, you know, that, you know, they are the right one. I love him so much and get an immense sense of satisfaction with him. I have a strong connection with him and have invested so much in him. Explaining her unusual desires, the future Mrs. Tetris described being unable to form an emotional relationships with humans, but instead felt passionately drawn to objects. I had feelings for monorails, iPods, treadmills, and then from fifth grade onward, that was the first time I had real feelings toward a Garmin GPS. She smiled wistfully. The fond memories. I had no idea why.
A long time.
It really. Oh, good.
No, this one's more C store for details.
I'm reading this whole thing. I had no idea why. I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs of each section in this. I had no idea why, but I get really shy around GPS or whenever anybody mentioned them. I was obsessed. I'd always try to make an excuse to use the GPS in the car and would try to hold it close. I would do anything to try and touch it and hear its voice. It made me really happy. In her late teens, Nurul enjoyed an online group of people identifying as objectum sexuals and drew inspiration from people like Eric Eiffel, who helped her understand that objectophilia wasn't a sexual fetish. I want to make clear that there is a big difference. A fetish is sexual, whereas objectum sexual is more romantic, she said.
That's why it uses the word romantic in the sentence.
And feel like you're emotionally connect with the objects. I've never been attracted to humans. Love blossomed early for the game-loving number cruncher when she was gifted a Pierre calculated by her mother. I was doing an advanced statistics course in high school and saw them and thought, that's really sexy. Around the time I fell in love with Pierre, I had a strong attraction to math and a fetish for geometry. I called myself Fractal. I was obsessed. I was so in love with Pierre. I can't describe how much I was in love. It was indescribably strong. I took him to my mom, and I just felt an explosion inside me like a wildfire was raging in my heart. I loved touching his buttons, the feel of his buttons and trackpad. I love running my finger over that, and I use my tongue to touch his buttons.
Oh, no.
I like generating random numbers and multiplying them. It was very much an intellectual relationship as well. He's a calculator. How could it not be? Sadly, the numbers didn't add up to bridal bliss for Nerole and Pierce calculated a passion. Despite the school prom date, the Orlando native said Pierre was simply too intellectually intense to sustain a long-lasting connection. Sadly, her unusual lifestyle had drawn much scorn from the outside world, leaving her to withdraw from social media where hateful comments are regular occurrence.
Not at all.
I'm not doing any more or anything any harm. Anyone. Or anything any harm, she appeals. What is the issue? They think it's weird. But I asked them to give me one good reason why I shouldn't date Tetris, and they can't. For no, now, can't. However, love's labors are not lost on the engaged couple. Nerole is closing on her completing her studies at Florida University, after which she and her friends will be celebrating the Ma Tetris Moni in style. Oh, fuck. I want to say I'm married to Tetris and have a legitimate ceremony with friends. She giggles. I want everybody to be there. I feel like that would be an official thing, which would just set it stone and say, I love you, and I want to prove it to you by making it permanent and calling myself Mrs. Tetris. What a ridiculous fucking story, Robert.
That's about as crazy as it gets.
Shit. Hey, where are we going next? Yeah.
Well, and I actually looked up Erica Eiffel, and it's a real person. It's in Wikipedia, and actually she has an Instagram.
this is a good one coming up here.
That's rough.
Hold on to your britches, folks.
Yeah, well, this one's going to keep us in Florida and takes us to the Huffington Post, where a Florida couple attempted to have sex in a cop car.
Oh,
yeah, the couple had been arrested for DUI and allegedly got hot and heavy in the back of the squad car. You check out her mugshot there. A Florida couple arrested for DUI has aroused attention for what they allegedly did while in a police car waiting to go to jail. On Friday night, Nassau County Sheriff's Deputy Mark Hunter pulled over two bicyclists who were riding around without their lights on and had almost been hit by a vehicle.
Oh, boy.
The officer said both suspects, later identified as 35-year-old scab-infested Megan Mondanero and 31-year-old Aaron Thomas, smelled of alcohol and had bloodshot, watery eyes and slurred speech, according to First Coast News. Hunter said that after Thomas had failed field sobriety tests and declined to do others, he was arrested. Mondanero was also taken into custody after she declined to take the test, too. Although both were handcuffed in the back of Hunter's police car, they apparently didn't let that minor detail stop them from appreciating the romance of the moment. According to the police report obtained by the Smoking Gun, Hunter was outside of the car when Thomas and Mondanero took their clothes off and started to have sex. The officer said that's when he opened the door to stop them, and Thomas was naked and Mondanero had her pants down where her vaginal area was visible. Oh. They also observed her bra was halfway off and her boobies, Rob, were fully visible.
Oh, her titties
After
were there.
Hunter removed a naked Thomas from the car, her melons. He knocked the deputy to the ground and ran away before being arrested at a Cold Stone Creamery. Hopefully he had his pants back on. Meanwhile, Mondanero allegedly became violent and started kicking at another deputy. She was forced to the ground and suffered abrasions on her face. I was wondering. I thought that might be meth, according
to
the Smoking
Gun. Why does she look like an old Shirley Temple that's been kicked in the face and did a bunch of drugs?
they rubbed her face into the concrete, apparently. Oh. She had been charged with DUI, exposing sex organs, committing an unnatural and lascivious, it's very natural, and lascivious act, resisting without violence, according to First Coast News.
One of the most natural things you can do.
Right.
Maybe not so much in a cop car, but right. I mean, just in general.
Right. Thomas was charged with a threat against a public official, committing an unnatural and lascivious act, exposing sex organs, and DUI. Mondanero remains behind bars in lieu of $12,508 bond. She had all but that $8. Thomas is being held without bail. Both have lengthy rap sheets. Mondanero recently served 60 days in jail for a parole violation. And Thomas served 46 days behind bars for assaulting a police officer.
Well, best of luck to the young couple.
Yeah. May they find their love.
They will.
Save these pictures.
Maybe they'll find their next love in prison. All right. We're going to stay in Florida. Why not? Good.
We should.
Where a man, Florida man particularly, parks his smart car in his kitchen so it won't get blown away. Yep. That's right. It started as a lighthearted challenge between a Florida couple. Can a smart car fit into their kitchen? The answer, yes, it can. Patrick Aldridge parked his smart car in his kitchen to protect it from the Hurricane Dorian Patrick Aldridge parked his smart car in his kitchen to protect it from Hurricane Dorian because he didn't want it to blow away, and to prove that he can park his car there. Jessica Aldridge said her car was already parked in the garage. To avoid clearing out the garage, her husband proposed to park it in the house. I said there's no way he could. He said he could, Jessica said. So he opened the double doors and had it in. I was amazed that it could fit.
Yeah, he did.
That's what she said. He had it in with no problems.
Oh, good.
That he did. Probably lubed it up. He's got to lube it up, you know?
Yep.
You fit anything in there as long as there's enough grease. Dorian was skirting Florida's coast Wednesday, narrowly missing Jacksonville as it heads toward northward along the Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina coastlines. I hope they're okay. The Category 2 storm has devastated the Bahamas. Hurricane Dorian is not even around anymore. You can tell we skipped a week and then just kept the stories.
Not evergreen like the other ones.
Where rescue crews have only begun taking the full measure of the damage. With the car in the middle of the kitchen, Jessica Aldridge had to move around it to cook and serve dinner. I'm hoping you will pull it out pretty soon. Once the wind dies down, she said. There's room, and it's not in any way, but my dogs are confused by it. It's not in the way. The dogs are confused. That's the main reason. The dogs keep thinking they're going for a ride. I don't think it fit in the smart car, but I don't know how many. If there's already two humans in the smart car, I'm not sure where you'd put a dog. Not very smart.
Oh, man.
Hey, where's our next story going to take us?
Well, we're saving on gas this week. We're going to stay in Florida.
Oh, thank God.
Yep. We're going to go to St. Johns County, Florida, where a man is accused of pulling a gun.
Oh.
You know, it had to be something serious. On a woman after she refused to try his vape pen at a McDonald's restaurant.
Interesting.
St. Johns really County Sheriff's Office arrested St. Augustine resident Kyle McGill Walker. He's got three names. You know he's trouble. On Friday, after he allegedly pulled a gun on the victim. Oh. The victim told the officers that she was approached by Walker, who asked if she would try a hit of his vape pen, according to police. After the victim refused, Walker said, "Are you serious, bro?" Always said by the cool guys, according to the report. Walker then lifted up his shirt and showed the victim a gun, police said.
No.
He pulled the gun out of his pants and began asking, "What's up now? What's up now?
What's up? What's up?
What's up? What's up now?" The victim told police she was in fear for her life. Short time later, police reportedly found Walker behind the Lewis Point Plaza near where the incident occurred. Police transported him back to the McDonald's, where the victim in the surveillance video confirmed the crime. Walker has been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon without intent to kill, the sheriff's office said.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah. So make sure when somebody tries to share their vape pen, you just go ahead and take a hit.
You just got to oblige them, you know?
Yep. You just got to get lung disease or whatever it is that's in the news.
Yeah, well, that's why all the states are outlawing it now. Because
yeah, Michigan, I saw.
Well, I think it's because it's making the kids want to vape because it tastes good.
Yep.
apparently. Yep. I don't know. I've never once vaped. Have you vaped?
No. I've been around people that do it, and I just, it looks silly, I think. But that's the old man in me telling them to get off my lawn, I think.
Well, that's true. Exactly. I'm just waiting for this news story to load. Please wait. Please wait.
This one's almost as bad. Thankfully, you don't have to go far.
Wait. Here, let me see if I put on reader mode, if at all. Oh, boy, this chick right here looks good.
Yeah, she's been through the ringer.
She's been through something.
Yep.
Come on, hooker. Here we go. All right. We're staying in Florida. Thank God. Pasco County.
Ooh, Pasco County. Where,
Florida woman bites, hits man with light bulb for taking her broomstick. According to deputies. Deputies arrived at a Pasco County home this week to find teeth marks on a man's arm and what was left of a light bulb scattered on the floor. The man told them he had been...
teeth had a lot of gaps in it, no doubt.
He'd been in a verbal spat on Monday with Kimberly Ruth Mann, but things got violent after she picked up a broomstick, the Miami Herald reported. First, she poked him with it. The man said he grabbed the stick, but man wasn't going to let him have it. Instead, she allegedly sank her teeth into his arm. Then she grabbed a light bulb and shattered it on him, investigators said. Authorities said man claimed her actions were in self-defense.
Garbage.
Even so, they considered the red-purple mark on the victim's arm to be consistent with his version of events. Deputies arrested the 32-year-old. She now faces a domestic battery charge and is being held at the Lando Lakes Jail. She's covered in margarine. That's all they eat there is margarine.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that, not said butter.
No. Lando Lakes, it's not butter, right?
Isn't it the same thing, though? Butter and margarine, or is it really different?
No, it's different.
How do you know? You don't make butter or margarine. How do you know different?
Because I have taste buds, and I taste different? They are different. Uh-huh. Margarine and butter. Wait. Margarine.
Alexa, what's the difference between margarine and butter?
Yeah, let's ask her.
Butter is a dairy product made from churning milk or cream.
Oh, yeah.
Margarine does not contain dairy but is a substitute for butter. Margarine's primary ingredients include vegetable oil, water, salt, emulsifiers, and some also include milk.
Emulsifiers.
Alexa, add emulsifiers to my shopping list.
Give me some margarine.
What should I add?
Dildo emulsifiers.
I've added fires to your shopping list.
Fires.
Anything else?
That'll be all.
What should I add?
Nothing, please.
Okay.
Yeah, great. You have some shopping to do this weekend.
Well, our final story takes us to our favorite hairless nation here, and we're going to go to Brazil. Where a Brazilian surgeon claims his revolutionary hair transplant technique will help get rid of baldness in the next decade. Romero Marau, 67, has developed a unique hair transplant method, which will revolutionize the hair transplant industry in the next decade. And I know I said that, but this is one of those cases where the story starts with the exact same words that the title was. Dr. Moreau's hair transplant technique involves transferring pubic hair follicles from the genitals and anal area to the top of the head, technique he has been the first to develop for no known reason. Pubic and anal hair grow in higher densities and are much stronger. They are perfectly suited for those who like an afro-style haircut, he said during the interview on Brazilian national TV. Technique is best suited for people of African origin as the molecular structure of their hair is extremely similar to that of pubic and anal hairs, he explained. And for some reason, this just seems wrong. Patients of Dr. Moreau have also complained about contracting crabs, also known as pubic lice, a parasitic insect notorious for infesting human pubic hair. Pubic hairs are an ideal environment for crab lice to spread because their claws are adapted to the specific diameter of the pubic.
Wait, hold on.
That is so wrong.
That's right. It's the first thing Donald Trump's ever said I've agreed with.
That's what I was going to say. The first time he's ever told the truth. It's, pubic hair is an ideal environment for crab lice to spread because their claws are adapted to the specific diameter of the pubic hair.
Make sure the carpet matches the drapes. That's
right. Although Dr. Romero admits his new technique is also although Dr. Romero has admitted that his new technique has had unintended consequences for some, he says that most of his patients are satisfied with their new set of hair and that lice killing medication is available without a prescription at any local drugstore or pharmacy. It seems like a legit way to solve it.
So if you get pubic lice from your new hair
on top of your head,
you just got to get a medicated cream. That's all.
Yeah, just a little different shampoo.
That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. Wow, that's great.
That seems legit. Might have to try it. Both of us are bald. Maybe this is something we could do. Help us with the chicks. Man.
It's got to be careful from those nether regions, messing with them too much. Like this story here about this man who contracts flesh-eating disease after eating boyfriend's anus while he had diarrhea. Or the National Geographic cameraman arrested for raping a zebra.
A couple reported missing while having sex in the Miami River disguised as dolphins.
Oh, boy. You got to be careful there. Yeah. Irish farmer claims he was sexually assaulted by a leprechaun.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
Good a lot of good stuff. We went easy this week.
Hard-hitting shit here.
Yeah. We only had to go a little bit south from Florida to get to Brazil, too. So we saved a lot of gas.
No, we spent most of the time in Florida. So great news.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, enjoy your phone and get your scratch buffed out, and hopefully they'll have some that they can hand you. I'm sure they
turtle
have
wax extras. For it or something. Yeah, you know, we'll figure it out.
Have to. That's fine. You won't even see it. You put a screen protector on it, you won't notice it. But that's one of those. It's day one. 2 hours later, you might as well just have them swap it out.
Well, that's the thing. If it was a month later, even I'd be like, all right. Well, this is clearly just wear and tear. But I'm like, I hadn't even left the house with that. I looked, I'm like, what the fuck? How is there already a scratch on it? So that'll have to, especially they were touting how much stronger this new glass is. And then shit, I have the worst scratch I've ever had on an iPhone screen within an hour of opening the fucking box.
Well, yeah, it probably came there. I know in years past, there've been people that said they've opened it up and it had a scratch on it. It's that coating that they put on the thing to keep from getting fingerprints. It scratches. The glass is fine. It's that coating, but you still gotta send it back.
Yeah, no worries. They're just gonna give me a new one, and then I'll have to go through this whole fucking setup again. It'll be good. All right. Well, great.
Well, what you should do is your old phone doesn't have a scratch, so just put that one in the box and send it back, and just keep your old one.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, well. Well, if you know where to find us, thetwobobs.com. Yeah. Also, we do have a number.
Yeah. I noticed that you had a phone number.
We do. It's 530-882-BOBS. That's 530-882-2627. You can also find us on all the social things at Two Bobs Podcast.
That's it. We'll hope to see you next week, maybe with a special guest.
See you next week. We'll see.
All right, bye.
Bye. Preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own, not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.